as you look at the back of your program today, you see a familiar topic, contemporary topic. We're going to do a series this month where we celebrate Black history on hidden figures. Amen? Hidden figures. And what we're going to do this month is examine some of the people of color who are in the Word and the contributions they did. And these are quite often people who worked behind the scenes but had major contributions. If you saw the movie, you probably enjoyed it. If you haven't seen the movie, I encourage you to see the movie. But the movie Hidden Figures really focuses on three African-American women who are mathematicians and who served a vital role with NASA during the beginning of the U.S. space race. They happened to be the human computers who would help calculate the path of the rockets, the path of those capsules, and where they would land. And this was before we had the sophisticated supercomputers that we have today. These folks would fact check the computers and make sure that everything would work out okay. And it's interesting that their work is not hidden to everybody. It's just not told to everybody. Amen. So this month we're going to look at some figures whose work is not told to everybody. They're not hidden. They're in the Bible. They're in the Word. We're just going to expose them on this month. Today we're going to talk about a man named Jethro. Jethro. And we're coming from Exodus chapter 18. And I will read two verses, starting at the 13th verse. And so it was on the next day that Moses set to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" We're focused on Jethro, who is the father-in-law of Moses. And today we're going to look at the leadership lessons that Jethro provided to Moses. Leadership lessons that still survive today or are implemented today in any type of organization that you have. There is a level of responsibility, of increasing responsibility. And that's what Jethro introduces to Moses at this time. Let us pray over this word. Father, we thank you for this word we're about to receive. We thank you, Lord. I pray that as I speak this word, that you have prepared me, Lord, to share this word with accuracy and with clarity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Jethro, father-in-law of Moses. We are introduced to Jethro in Exodus chapter 2 when a young man named Moses, born a Hebrew but raised in Pharaoh's palace, has to leave town because he saw an injustice being done. He saw an Egyptian beating up on a Hebrew. And in his intervention, he killed the Egyptian. So Pharaoh was looking for him because you don't kill other people. And he had to leave town. And he went to a place called Midian. And when he went to Midian, he sat beside a well to rest. Seven young ladies came because they were gathering water to give to their father's flock. These seven young ladies happened to be the daughters of Jethro, the priest of the Midian people. And one of these daughters, Zipporah, became Moses' wife. So Moses married Zipporah, and they had two sons. Now, let me share with you why I believe that Jethro was a person of color, first of all. I want us to look at Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. The brother and sister of Moses were envious of him because God seemed to only speak through him. So they spoke against Moses. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now we know that the Ethiopians, if you look at biblical history, they were the descendants of Cush, which is the firstborn son of Ham. The word Cush means black, meaning the people of the Cushites had a darker skin. So they were people that we would call people of color. The prophet Jeremiah even emphasized this when he talked about it in Jeremiah 13:23. And you can write this down. I don't expect you to go to all these verses right now, but write this down and look at it later. Jeremiah 13:23. Jeremiah says, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? He was using them as an example of somebody who could not change who they were. Then we skip over to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 7, which makes the connection between the Cushites and the Midianites. Habakkuk 3, 7, I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. Cushan and Midian were synonymous in the way that the Hebrew did their poetry and scripture. They're one and the same, the Cushan and the Midians. So we have these facts in the Bible that point to the people of Midianites, a Midian, being people of a darker shade. Amen? So I wanted to establish that, so when I share that Jethro was a man of color, you now know what I'm talking about. So Moses married Zipporah, and he lived peacefully with the Midianites for 40 years until God appeared to him in the form of a burning bush. And he appeared to him and he told him, I've heard the affliction of my people back in Egypt. And Moses, I need you to go down there and lead my people out of captivity. Moses said, why me? I've been gone 40 years. Why me? Why me? But when God tells you to do something, he knows the reason why, even though we don't often know the reason why. So we fast forward. Moses goes back to Egypt, and he confronts Pharaoh. And through the miracles of God, the Hebrew people are released. They have crossed the Red Sea. They are in the wilderness where God has completed many miracles for them. He's turned bitter water into sweet water. He's fed them with bread from heaven. And in the previous chapter, chapter 17, they have defeated the enemy, the Amalekites. Now in the 18th verse, 18th chapter of Exodus, the Hebrew people have set camp in the wilderness. Jethro heard about all the things that they had done, all the goodness that God had done for the children of Israel. And he came to the Hebrew camp. So Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, comes to visit Moses in the wilderness, and he brings Zipporah and he brings the sons with him. And he came to the camp, and Moses told him all about what God had done, and Jethro rejoiced. In the 18th chapter, Jethro led worship by offering sacrifices to God in verse 12 of chapter 18. So this is where we are right now. Jethro, the father-in-law, is with his son-in-law, Moses. He is reunited with him. They are rejoicing. But there is a problem going on among the people. And quite often, when there is a problem, we need somebody else to help us figure it out. That's the whole story behind the movie Hidden Figures, figuring out the problems. We're going to look at the problem that was going on and look at Jethro's contribution to Moses. So in the 13th verse again, and so it was on the next day after they had rejoiced, the next day after they had rejoiced what the Lord had done for the children of Israel, that Moses set to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning till evening. At that time, Moses represented the Lord before the people. So if the people needed to know anything, they came to Moses. If they had a dispute, no matter how great, no matter how minor, they came to Moses. And he sat there from morning till evening, listening to the concerns of the people, interpreting the statutes of God for the people to help them out. From morning till evening, he sat there. Then in the 14th verse, so when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" Jethro is noticing that Moses is sitting there as the only judge before the people. He notices that the people are standing there all day long in line. I don't know when the last time it was that you had to stand in line for something. But it seems the older we get, the less tolerant we are. Amen. To standing in line. We know how long we can stand in line. And I dare say there have been times we have probably seen lines and we have kept on going. Saying, "I will come back another time." I've even been known to go into a popular big box store that has 24 cash registers and they only have 3 open. And there are long lines. Depends on how I feel. I might just put my stuff back and say, "I will come back later," when the lines are much shorter. There's something about standing in line that does something to people. So Moses was sitting here doing this work because he was God's man. And Jethro asked him the question, "What is this thing that you are doing?" The response in verse 15, and Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God." The people want to know God's will. And Moses is simply saying, "This is my job." When they have a difficulty, they come to me. And I judge between one and another. And I make known the statutes of God and his laws. They come before me because there is some confusion. They come before me because there is controversy. They come before me because of the confrontations they have. They come before me because they know that I will answer them honestly and sincerely. Verse 17, so Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good." Have you ever had somebody tell you that what you're doing is not good? You know, this happens in the church sometimes too. Where we try to use our gifts in a generous way, but we wear ourselves out in the process, and we try the people in the process. The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you, and you are not able to perform it by yourselves. What he's saying of Moses, that your performance is reduced because of the load you have before you. You're going to wear yourself out, and you're going to wear the people out. You know, we all need to know our limits, amen? We all need to know what we can do and what we can't do. There are certain bridges I drive across that have a weight limit assigned to them. They also might have a height limit for overpasses. And see, me as the driver, I am supposed to calculate my load. And can it really go across that bridge? I need to calculate how tall my vehicle is. And can it really go across under that overpass? It's up to us to figure out. But sometimes we can't figure that out because we're so busy doing what we're doing that we don't see the signs. I had a friend's father one time who was driving a U-Haul, and this man had been used to driving cars, and he decided to go through the drive-thru lane at McDonald's. You know where I'm going. Didn't recognize that there was a height restriction. And he took out part of the drive-thru because the U-Haul that he was not used to driving was too tall for the area. He didn't recognize his limitations. He didn't recognize his load. Years ago, I was on a small airplane. You know, one of these airplanes, they got one seat on this row and two seats on the other side. And the flight attendant had to come speak to a few people near the front and move them to the back or move them around. I don't know if many people noticed, but I knew what she was doing. Because, see, there was too many empty seats in the back, and it was overloaded in the first four rows of the front. So she had to redistribute the load. And it was shortly after that that I heard about the plane crash in Charlotte several years ago where the small plane crashed, and the reason was because the load was not distributed in the right way. The plane took off and crashed shortly after takeoff. My brothers and sisters, we've got to recognize the load that we can bear. We've got to recognize the load. The signs are all there. We just have to recognize it. We have to recognize how much we can do. We cannot wear ourselves out. There are limitations that what we can do as an individual. We might think that we are the only one who can do it. But rest assured, once your time has expired, somebody else will be assigned that task. In the workplace, we think we got to be there all the time. The job can't run without me. Let you be sick for a few weeks and see if things just don't go on. Even in the church, we have that. We have to distribute the load. We have to rest sometimes. God rested on the seventh day. Genesis chapter 2. Leviticus 25:5 tells us that the land is the rest on the seventh year. Farmers know that. That if you keep on planting the same thing over and over and over again in the same area, you will rob the nutrients from the ground. And eventually your yield will be less, less, and less. Because you put too much of a burden on the ground. This was still going on in New Testament times. People were still taking on too much of a load. If not, why did Jesus say in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Be careful of how much we take on ourselves, because we will wear ourselves out. We will wear others out who depend upon us. Jethro, the wise man, Jethro, the hidden figure. Jethro, in verse 19, gave wise counsel to Moses. He said, listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. What he's saying is, you need to keep on standing before the people. You need to keep on being an advocate on behalf of the people. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. What he's saying is, you need to teach the people. You need to be the interpreter on behalf of God for the people. Your job is to teach. And the more you teach, the less you'll have to do. Show them how they need to conduct themselves. Show them. And in verse 21, he says, moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. What he's saying is, you need to develop leaders. You need to duplicate yourself in others. And he even gave the qualifications. Select for the people such as fear God, those who have a relationship with God, those who respect God, those who respect the position that they are in and know that they represent God. Those are the type of people you need to choose. You need to choose people who are truthful. You know, you can't just tell everybody your problems. Amen. Amen. You know, we all know if we want to keep something between us and somebody else, we know who we can tell. Amen. And we know who we can't tell. Have you ever told somebody something personal, just between me and you? Amen. Then a few weeks later, somebody else in another conversation brings that up. We're praying for you. Wait a minute, what are you praying for? What about your situation? How you know about that situation? Well, so and so. I even have a brother in the ministry, a dear brother in the ministry, who I can't tell nothing. If I wanted to keep it just between me and him. So they have to be truthful. This is a qualification. They have to hate covetousness. To covet something is to desire the possessions of somebody else. So they have to be satisfied where they are and not always wanting to get what other people have or envious of others. Able people. Place them as rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over ten. Isn't that what we do now? Amen? Isn't that what we do now? Is put rulers and distribute the load. And in verse 22, and let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you. But every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. It's called shared responsibility. If you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all the people will also go to their place in peace. What he's saying is, if you do this, and if God endorses you doing this, what he's telling them is, just don't take my word for it. Seek the Lord's guidance in doing this. If you do this, you will have less stress in your life and less stress on the people, and everybody can go home satisfied. If you do this, you will be opening up the lines of communications, and people won't be standing in line all day long. Another pet peeve of mine is calling somebody for tech support or something. Or your cable goes out or phone goes out. And you get on the phone and you have to wait 45 minutes before someone gets to you. And I'm so happy to now that some vendors have figured it out. So you call them, and then they will tell you, give us your phone number, and we will call you back when we can answer your concern. If you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. The results of implementing a plan like this of shared responsibility is there's less strain on yourself. People will be satisfied. People will be peaceful. And you know what? Doesn't our court system sort of follow that today, both on the state and federal levels? Don't we have trial courts that handle the criminal crimes and other crimes? Don't we have the appellate courts? Don't we have the Supreme Courts? So it usually starts out in the trial courts where they hear the situation and a ruling is made. And if for some reason that doesn't seem right, you can appeal it to somebody else. And they can look at it and check out whether procedural mistakes were made or if everything was done honestly. Isn't that the way it's supposed to work in the court system? Major companies have forms of leadership, supervisor, manager, directors, VPs. Military has form of leadership, squads, platoons, companies, battalions, and so on. Increasing responsibility so that everybody doesn't have to shoulder the load of all the people. Wise advice from Jethro. Look at verse 24. So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses, as great as Moses was, he still knew that he couldn't do it by himself. As great as Moses was, and he was really connected with God, he still recognized that he could not look down on somebody else and dismiss their advice, their guidance. He heeded the voice of his father-in-law. That means he listened to it. And did all that he had said. We should welcome wise counsel. Yes. We shall welcome wise counsel. And in verse 25, and Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them heads over his people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So they judged the people at all times. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses. You only see his name mentioned a few times in the word. He was a man from a different country. He was a man from a darker shade of color. He was a man who was wise from his experience as a leader among the Midian people. No matter how much we know, there is always somebody who can share a word of counsel with us. And, you know, sometimes, in you know, the younger generation tends to dismiss the contributions of the elderly because we think we've been to school and we have a better idea. We know all the latest stuff. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. We know all the latest processes. We know things. We can calculate this stuff. So we know the best practices. We know all of this. But then somebody who's been through it before can come to us and drop some knowledge on us that makes more sense than anything we have read in the books, than anything the professors have stood up and taught us. Anything that we have learned from experience. Jethro was that person for Moses. Jethro was the person who looked at Moses and said, "Moses, I know you're a man of God. I know I don't fully understand your God, but I see what you're doing." Moses was the one who listened to wise counsel from his father-in-law. Sometimes we think that they can't tell me anything. I'm anointed and I'm appointed and I've got it like that. I don't need no supervision. I know what I'm doing. The Lord has given me everything I need to get by. This might be true, but can it be true that the Lord can send somebody your way? Who can help you? Who can assist you? Who can guide you? Who can direct you? There was a problem among the people. They had to wait in line all day long, whether their concern was great or whether it was small. It tired Moses out. It made him less effective, and it tired the people out and tired them out. And here comes this hidden figure. Here comes just Jethro. Here comes this man and provides Moses just what he needs to implement a system to handle the concerns of the people, both great and small. He implemented a system to distribute the labor of judging of the people. Leadership lessons that we still recognize and understand today. Anybody who's been a first-time supervisor, we think we know it all. Amen. Somebody has given us the position, has given us a name, has given us a title, and suddenly we think we know it all. And here we are as young people, the boss over folks who've been doing the job for 20 or 30 years. Amen. And when we think we got a better idea instead of listening to the experience we have before us. The problem is there. The solution is there. Jethro came at the right time. And fortunately, it is recorded in this great book of God. Leadership lessons from Jethro. He was just a father-in-law, but he had an influence over the people of God. Yes. He had an influence over us today. As we take leadership classes today, you will see the same thing being taught, being played out. Leadership lessons from Jethro, a hidden figure in the Word of God, but such an important figure in the Word of God. It's time to expose those that we normally look over. Amen? Amen. It's time to expose those that are in the footnotes and the margins. It's time to expose those who made major contributions but have very little mention. It's time to expose the true Word of God. Amen. God bless you. Leadership lessons. Leadership lessons. Leadership lessons from Jethro. Amen.